Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Please welcome the wickedly talented
Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton.
You've been sitting on that for what?
No, in the car on the way over here.
You're bumping, you're like, hey Siri, play my most listened to album of 2020.
2019.
But, oh, did you listen to it last year?
We listened to parts of it.
Me.
What's that?
Not you and you. I. Oh, I was like, we didn't listen to Hamilton together. How dare you?
No, I mean my wife and I.
Who? The lady that's at your house when I record.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was like your housemate.
My mom. My second mom.
But that was Archie's friend.
No, we would get like 10 songs in and then we'd be like, okay, that's enough. Call it a day. But one time...
But you've never seen it, hey?
No, never.
I mean, so is that it's an interesting policy to do the music of a musical... Before seeing the musical, I find that might be like reading the script to a movie before seeing the movie.
Yeah, but I mean, the only way when that came out on Apple Music,
yeah,
the only way you could see Hamilton was either wait for it to come to your town,
yeah,
or go to New York and spend hundreds,
both
maybe
thousands
of dollars to see it on Broadway.
Yeah,
so it felt pretty unachievable. I really liked the Moana soundtrack, and
true.
I thought.
Did you listen to Moana before you watched Moana?
No, I watched Moana.
Interesting.
First.
Interesting. Yeah. You played by my rules for that album. No, and, you know what? The only reason I say that is because I listened to I thrashed the Book of Mormon for the same reasons. And then when I saw it live, I didn't have that dumb feeling where it was like, I know all the words. I was like, oh, I wish I was hearing this for the first time.
Right, yeah.
Because I think it just, that's how, I don't know.
I think
it was my own.
Besides,
I was projecting
one,
them,
of,
man.
One or two songs on that, I hadn't heard anything.
There's
in
like
Book
42
before.
Songs.
Oh, in fucking Hamilton.
Well, there's no dialogue.
Yeah, I was like, that was like one of the craziest. Look, we're gonna do a big Hamilton episode later
tonight,
bro.
Hamilton.
My name is Levins.
My name is
Manuel Miranda.
My name is Lynn Angustrasca Manuel Miranda.
Hamilton tonight. It's on Disney Plus. If you have a spare 2 hours, 40 minutes, go watch it before we spoil it. We spoil extremely fabricated American history for you.
Yeah, it's a fairy tale. it fits perfectly on Disney Plus. Not eligible for any Oscars, I was reading today.
But is eligible for Emmys.
Yeah, because it's a television thing.
Also, who knows what the Oscars are going to be like this year.
We know. Sonic, best actor. James Marsden, best supporting actor. Jim Carrey, best... Lifetime
best
achievement.
Lifetime.
Yeah. Jim Carrey's character.
Best soundtrack, Queen.
Queen.
Don't Stop Me Now.
In Sonic the Hedgehog.
Is that the only song? That's the only song,
yeah,
I can remember.
Rami Malek will go back and just accept
just
it again.
Come back as Queen.
Performed.
Hello,
by,
I'm Queen.
Like, who do they have? Oh, there was someone for a while who did more than one performance as a fictional character they played. Do you remember that? And it was kind of like, you're not that person.
Oh, I don't know. Like it was someone that played someone in a,
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, and then they made like more than one appearance of them, perhaps live as well.
Bruno.
And it was just kind of like, oh, you're not that person.
Imagine if Sacha Baron Cohen brings back a space, puts Bruno in space for a series called Bruno Mars.
That'd be huge.
And it's just, yeah, it's just Bruno in space.
Well, I'd like the Bruno Mars story told but through the visage of Sacha Baron Cohen's Bruno.
Work. Yeah.
Bruno Mars, apparently a very nice guy. Invited my friend over for breakfast when he was in Sydney and he went over for breakfast and he had a good time.
Bruno Mars hired by the Obama presidency to perform on 4th of July many years ago.
Oh, and yeah. And then this year some military dude.
Yeah, white military band performed to a crowd of a dozen people.
Yeah. But it was the biggest dozen they've ever seen.
Have you watched that clip? It's so good.
It's on Twitter. The White House will definitely... stand by it. It was the biggest dozen they've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
bigger than
the most overweight dozen they've ever bigger had than on, most dozens. On the
it was the biggest
White House lawn.
The best dozen.
Yeah, the strongest dozen.
The Bakers.
So the last 2 weeks, Angus, we did episodes about Last of Us 2.
That's right. So this week we're going
to
do...
another 3 hours, Last of Us 2. Set to music, a musical. But
this is New Game Plus. This is
how far into it have you gotten?
Are
you
still I'm Game close Plus to in? Being Abby again. I'm just taking my time. Work's really busy at the moment. I forget that I have a job after the holiday.
Oh yeah, you took time off to play a game. Of course, I forget.
That's why I thrashed it
twice a year. Games coming out, but better take work.
What's a Ghost of Tsushima holiday?
That's next week. Next week. Wow.
Is it good? What's the verdict?
I think it's gonna be. I feel like they kind of fucked it. They should have put that out before Last of Us.
Yeah, sure.
But if anything, I think it's going because the narrative is going to be, the main critics are going to be like, yeah, it's fine. But after Last of Us 2, it feels like a big step back.
Yeah.
And then you'll have the incels that are going to be like, this is way better than Last of Us 2.
Yeah, we can already predict that. Yeah. That's
you play as a man the whole time.
Yeah, and he's definitely not gay.
I prefer my Japanese games written by Americans.
White people. Yeah. Look, the video game industry has a lot to learn. Well, from us, it is this weird paradoxical. It's like one of the most highest like bankable industries, but it's still so new. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, something so new shouldn't be making this much money for some of the mistakes or like missteps they're making.
Mm-hmm.
But then also they're not held accountable by like the fans as much because the fans are the fucking worst people.
So I took a break from Last of Us. I wanted to play something completely different. Like
you're replaying it, are you?
No, as in like I took a break. I don't want to play anything that feels like Last of Us 2. After doing that and the
you took
the first
a break
one,
after playing it. What you meant, like you would play it again and you're like...
Yeah, maybe I'll do Last of Us, like the New Game Plus. I don't know. It feels like... I like thinking about a game. It's like, I enjoyed that in that pocket of time that I played it.
Yeah, it's a nice feeling.
Yeah. But
you don't want a game to become homework.
I did. I just did pure comfort food. I finished Shovel Knight King of Cards, the final expansion for Shovel Knight that came out last year, which is like a part platformer, part card game, which is like pretty good skewer of what I like these days.
Yeah, the only thing it's missing is non-pronounceable like board games made by German men.
Yeah, the card game thing. It's called Joustus. That's the name of the game. So that's definitely covered.
Yeah.
So yeah, you I know that.
How do you spell that? Like joust and then ICA?
No, US at the end. Joustus.
Oh, interesting. Okay, not how I would have spelled it. Yeah, cool.
You'd like this game though. It's good.
I've got the treasure trove.
Shovel Knight.
It's in the like that's not going anywhere pile.
Yeah, sure.
They're not going to recall
it. Ain't nobody clicking that.
Yeah, it's there. It's sitting on my Switch, and I've got the treasure trove or whatever it's called. I've been meaning to play it since the Wii.
King of Cards is the most like Mario 3, which I know is your favorite Mario game.
It's my favorite Mario.
There's a big, Mario World map is. And there's multiple different exits to each level that then take you on.
It sounds very Mario World, actually. Jump.
Is it Mario World? Okay. Yeah, you're right. Mario 3 didn't do that.
There is some like warp pipes, and you can jump stuff.
And warp whistles.
Warp whistle, flutes. But then... Mario World's known more for its like array of exits.
Yeah, it's very true. It's what's most like Mario World.
Love that. I'm so in.
But then I went even more.
Do they all live around the same time these nights? Like, are they friends?
These are all no. They are not friends. You fight all the nights as different nights.
Interesting.
So
you fight Shovel Knight, Card Knight,
Plague Knight.
Let's rank them by name.
There's so many knights. And then last expansion, they also released like a Super Smash Brothers style fighter where you choose from one of the nine knights.
So there's nine of them.
You do a story campaign as all the knights.
Is Hollow Knight just chilling along for the ride, even though not part of the series?
Yeah, Hollow Knight's just there like...
DLC.
Just, you know, that's a Sakurai. At one point, you accidentally step on a bug and then it's like...
So what is it? There's Shovel Knight, Plague Knight...
Shovel Knight, is it Shadow Knight maybe? Then there's like King Knight.
King Knight seems like again, a paradox.
There's Shield Knight.
Shield, yeah, wow. Interesting.
King Knight rules. King Knight, he plays like, he's like this boisterous idiot king.
Yes.
Who just, all he wants is just to be rich at the cost of everything else in his life.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I loved it, man. That was really, really good. And then I've been playing through like some of the story campaigns of like the Super Smash Brothers style fighter that you get as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's insane, like, how much they make for that stuff.
It is one of the most best value packages you can get on
Yacht
Switch.
Games?
Yacht Club.
Yacht Club. Do they make anything else?
They're releasing their first non-Shovel Knight game quite soon. It's a game that reminds me a little bit of Katana Zero.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they're exclusively putting out games that appeal to me.
Yeah, it's nice to have a yeah,
and then a different developer is putting out a roguelike dungeon crawler Shovel Knight game soon that they're publishing.
Really?
Yeah.
So someone else is playing with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I'll allow it.
You allow
it? Do it? Yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
So I finished that, and then I've been getting a bunch of older game collections. Archie. My son is obsessed.
You said you have an Archie story.
Yeah, I've got a good Archie story this week. He is obsessed with Pac-Man.
He was playing the Apple Arcade,
it's called like Pac-Man Party Royale or something. It's on Apple Arcade.
Just words they throw at the end of games. Once you reach a certain certain amount of games in your pantheon, you're just like, well, this one's Pac-Man Party.
But it's so good. It's the only app that he opens now, and it's an actual game where you play as...
Because the other apps are movie players?
The other ones are like, you
there's
know, like...
Netflix and Stan, and he's like, no, I know there might be movies on there. I'm not opening those.
He has finished a few Apple Arcade games. There's a few, like, he did that Assembly Required, or whatever it is, the one by the guys who made...
Monument
Valley. Yeah. He finished that, Assemble with Care.
Sure.
That's a very simple kind of story-based game that he finished. But like the Pac-Man game, it's like you go against three other Pac-Men and then a ghost. And then once you eat a power pellet, you can then eat one of the ghosts, eat one of the other Pac-Men, and then they turn into a ghost. And it's all about being the last Pac-Man standing.
Right.
He's really good at it. And I was like, oh, well, I'll show you, Archie, like what Pac-Man used to be.
Yeah, he was a girl first. <'cause he's> Pac-Man.
So there's two new collections on Switch called the Namco Arcade Museum.
Did they ever establish that Ms. Pac-Man was different to Pac-Man? Or did Pac-Man?
It is different to the point where Namco don't own the license.
No, I mean the character in the game was it, or is it Pac-Man was actually woman and transitioned and was just like a pro early pro
trans
game.
There's no like they didn't put like left
I'm not
behind.
A stan
there's
enough.
No left behind DLC.
That's
for
what
Pac-Man
I mean. Yeah,
that
Pac-Man.
Explains. No, I think Ms. Pac-Man was like a love interest, but it's owned by a different company, and so you'll never find Ms.
The
Pac-Man.
Mole. She has a mole too,
and a bow in her hair.
People said it was better, right?
Yeah, there are people that definitely have a lot of fans.
Yeah.
But it's very rare that you see those two together now because I think a different company owns the license.
It'd be a shame. It'd be good if they had it because Namco could pretend they created the first trans video game character and look super progressive, which is nuts for a country like Japan where...
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't think you're allowed to say the word trans.
Namco Arcade Museum it's basically all the NES versions of all the console. Ooh. They've already released two collections that have all the Namco Arcade editions, and now they've got you're right there.
Like 10 pillows, I realize.
Yeah, how many pillows?
I couldn't breathe. I was
haven't
like,
got
what's
any,
going?
Man.
Yeah, we got one there.
I'm good.
I don't need that many. I don't know why they were here. I never sit here, so I was unprepared.
Yeah, this is not actually.
This
is
my side.
You sit on the floor.
Yes, I sit on the ottoman.
Okay.
You cold?
No, I'm good, man.
You just let me know when.
Have you got an app on your phone that can control the temperature by any chance?
I do, but like you just let me know when.
Okay, well.
Just give me that look and I'll fire up.
But so yeah, this is like a collection of all of Namco's NES releases.
Right.
And actually, if you want a taste of it, you can get, if you have a Japanese account, the Japanese collection, if you buy it on their eShop, you get a free game. So if you just want to play an old Namco game, you get it in this collection. The collection.
Wait, say that again?
So you can buy... You know how like if you have a different account for different parts of the world on the eShop, if you have a Japanese eShop account and you get the Japanese release of this, it has a free game already loaded on the collection, and then you pay to buy each individual game.
Oh,
the
okay. So you get it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you download it for free. Yeah. I get you now. What game is it?
I don't know. I haven't done that yet. I got this collection. So they both have like 10 games on each collection, and then it has, they both have a bonus game. The bonus game on the first collection, so obviously you've got the main Pac-Man game, but then you also have a 8-bit demake of Pac-Man Championship Edition, which is like a fairly recent Pac-Man game.
I remember that.
It's so good. It's
you're so like race and shit, right?
Yeah, it's like a speed game essentially. Yeah, where you've got to follow.
It was a mobile game,
path.
Yeah.
No, it was on consoles.
Yeah, I don't know what that game is.
Then they made DX, and then they made Champion Edition 2, which came out on PS4 last year.
DX.
They're all really sick. But this is like a demake one where it looks like a NES game, but it has...
So right up your alley.
Yeah, it's so sick. And like,
again, another video game made solely...
Anyway,
taking your interest.
Very much worked on Archie, because today I went to go put him to bed, and I was like, what are you doing? And he's written a poem.
Wow.
Do you want to guess what the poem is? He's never written poetry before. This is his first, to my knowledge.
This is amazing.
To my knowledge,
write it with
his
the
first
pen
ever
in
poem.
His mouth or in his hand?
Yeah. The poem is called Pac-Man.
Interesting.
And here's the poem.
What style of poem are we talking? Stanza?
There's four lines. They rhyme.
Acrostic? Okay, they rhyme.
Yeah. A tiny little tiny ghost.
Tiny little tiny ghost.
Its little white eyes were not to boast.
Wow. Okay.
Its skin was very, very red. Oh, what a fright. Now go to bed.
It's very like, you know, he's speaking about death.
I just love that. Like,
because the ghost is
this
dead.
This is how like, obsessed he is with Pac-Man.
Because I remember you said last week he was like, talking to your mother, his grandmother, about Pac-Man. And it was just like, he may as well been speaking another language.
Yeah, yeah. He talks about like post-game like glitches in the Pac-Man Apple Arcade game. And he just, I mean, when you're a kid, you just think everyone is into the things that you're
yeah,
into.
Yeah, because they're sick.
And so, yeah. Because
like I said, I was with Simpsons season 4 script. I would just spout the entire script to people and thought it was weird my auntie wasn't like being the other characters.
But it's just so great. Like it's just not in the ether. So like there's no like Pac-Man Nickelodeon cartoon or like Pac-Man. I guess there is a mobile game, but it's on
is there
Apple
a movie?
Arcade,
maybe that's why he's picked Pac-Man, because he knows
Pixels.
He won't...
He's watched Pixels the other day.
Damn it.
With Adam Sandler.
The vehicle. The Sandman
that's
vehicle.
That's how they get these kids hooked on Pac-Man.
It would be amazing if he did discover Pac-Man via way of Pixels. He's like, I love the man that yells, but I love that yellow thing he fights.
That yellow massive alien.
I still haven't. You've watched it, haven't
I've
you?
I've never seen Pixels. I'm waiting to watch it with my son now that he's read
it
the manga.
It seems to the point now where it's like very funny to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I like Adam Sandler movies, even if they're bad.
100%. I think, didn't it?
And this is one of the worst. It's a classic combo.
I was about to say, didn't it come out around the time of like Answer the Call, where it's essentially the same movie?
It's
where like the New York has like a beam of light coming out of it, and then four misfits have to get together to like take on
yeah right
Spectre-esque
things. It's Adam Sandler, Kevin James, and is it also Kevin Hart?
I don't know.
No, it's Josh Gad.
Oh, you're kidding?
No, Josh Gad is Pixels.
And the dude,
I always get Kevin Hart and Josh Gad confused.
I mean,
you know, they're very
both
similar.
Funny guys. It's the dude from Game of Thrones, the like the short guy.
Oh, you're right.
What's his name?
The giant from
Endgame. From Endgame. No, from Infinity War.
Infinity War.
What's his name? Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage is in it. I know he's like a metalhead.
Yeah, yeah.
Very funny stuff.
So also on these
is it Kevin James as well? No, it's a woman as well. Adam Sandler always has like a woman lead.
I'm almost certain there's no women in Pixels.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Pixels. Cast. All right, who have we got? We have Adam Sandler. You're right, it's Michelle Monaghan.
Yes, that's right.
Peter Dinklage, Josh Gad,
oh
Kevin
God.
James, Ashley Benson, or Drane Krakowski from 30 Rock's in it.
Oh my God.
Brian Cox is in it.
As in the... Oh, I thought you meant the scientist. Oh, like the astro.
No. You know this guy. You're Brian. I'm Brian Cox.
Of course I know.
Yeah. Sean Bean is in it. Aykroyd's in it.
That's a banger of a script.
Serena Williams. What? The tennis
They're
player?
All playing themselves.
Martha Stewart?
It would be great if Dan Aykroyd plays the exact same role he played in Answer the Call in it.
Yeah, definitely.
And he just says like, I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
And he's talking about the Pac-Man ghosts.
Yeah,
and
I guarantee
it writes itself.
Yeah, it does.
Billy West is in it as well.
Chris Columbus, right?
Is that who directed it?
Yeah. Man, I'm pretty sure.
Pixels rules.
Fresh off the Percy Jackson train. He went into a...
Yep, Chris Columbus.
Yeah, I think he wrote... I think directed PJ, Purse Jack.
Yep.
Purse Jack 2, and then Pixels.
And so it's written by a constant collaborator of Sandler's who's written Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer, Waterboy, Big Daddy, Little Nicky, Mr. Deeds,
Jesus.
Bedtime Stories, Grown Ups 2, Pixels, and The Ridiculous Six.
Who?
His name is Tim Herlihy.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. If you're listening, hey.
Hey, shout out to Tim Herlihy.
Yeah, that movie sounds like it ticks a lot of Hey Fan boxes. Gadman.
The Gadman.
Video games. Adam Sandler.
Yep.
A movie that resembles...
Tim Herlihy.
Tim Herlihy, our favorite writer.
Our favorite listener.
A movie that resembles Answer the Call in beats and special guests.
So also on this Namco collection is a game called Pac-Land.
Oh, I know this
Have you seen this?
It's that old
it
platformer,
It is the
right?
most trash platformer ever. It looks like
on NES?
It looks like an MS Paint game.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing it online and say, it doesn't look like a game.
But what's insane about it is that there's a Smash stage based on Pac-Land.
Yeah, that's where I've seen it.
Because obviously you can play as Pac-Man in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a like this like if you want to play in a
What's
trash.
What's Namco up to? I mean, they run a lot of arcades and shit in Japan, right?
Yeah, and plus they were the ones that published like Katamari.
Yeah,
They put out a lot of stuff. There's also in the collection is the first ever Game Freak game, which is like a game where you like you're like flipping tiles.
Right. What do you mean Game Freak? Like with those old things you'd pop in the console and. You whack the cartridge in and unlock all the codes. Remember those?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's Game Freak, the guys who make Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of Game Genie.
Right. Yeah, Game Freak, their first game was
Remember they would sell like controllers with those like triggers and you can make a button press like 100 times and stuff?
Yeah, they also it had like, and they all had a turbo button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember getting one for Christmas and I always made the guests play with it.
Mendel Palace
Palace.
Their first game. So those collections are pretty sick. And then I also got these other insane collections called Darius,
which we just had a jam of then.
Just because, yeah, there are these arcade collections that I learned. I was given codes very, very generously. But then, if you want to buy them, they are. I was like, yeah, you would love these, man. You should totally get them. They're $70 for the console collection and $80 for the arcade collection, which is like both of those. That's more than we paid for Last of Us 2.
Yeah, it's so funny.
They're amazing collections. Like the UI is really nice. And
yeah, it popped.
But yeah, so it's like a Japanese shoot 'em up. Collection.
We call them shmups.
Shmups
in this house.
Game. But the main game that I wanted you to play is it's called Darius. Oh, fuck it. It was like the 1994.
Darius Gaiden.
Darius Gaiden. Yeah.
Gaiden.
Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden.
Gaiden.
Darius Gaiden, which is a...
Gaiden. Guy.
Wayne Guy. Gaiden.
Okay. Wayne Gay. Friend of the show. He's in Pixels as well.
That's right.
I can't believe Archie wrote a Pac-Man poem. I'm still kind of blown out
but
by
that. But if you want to see like an incredibly cool 90s aesthetic, it's like... I guess it's kind of a combo of like that Sega Virtua Fighter... Polygonal.
I don't think it's polygonal. I think it's all
mode 7.
They're like fake polygons. It's mode 7. It's pre-polygons.
You're essentially just like you're a little spaceship like flying through blasting.
You remind me of
SNES
shit where it'd have the mode 7 in the backgrounds like
robotic fish.
Yeah,
and you just keep getting like weapon upgrades. The soundtrack is incredible.
Music was tight.
It's just like it's everything
Very
I want
cool
in an arcade
vocalist.
Game. And if you hit the left trigger button, you just keep giving yourself more credits. So
the
last night,
crime.
Last night I just sat down and I just kept giving myself extra lives. And because normally, like if you were playing this at the arcade, maybe this is what you're paying so much for.
I think
because if you're playing
this
in the arcade, you would probably have to pay $80 in coins,
yeah,
to beat this game just by feeding it credits to keep continuing. In this, you just keep giving yourself credits by hitting the left bumper. And I just kept giving myself credits and finished the game in like half an hour. I beat like 12 different bosses, even though it took me like 10 lives each boss. Man, very fun experience.
Man, it looked fun as hell.
Yeah.
It sounded good. I won't get it until it drops.
And then I also
half
played...
price, at least.
Archie and I also finished a different game yesterday called Mr. Driller Drill Land.
Oh, yeah. I
which
know
is
that.
A...
It was on GameCube, right? No.
Yeah, it's a GameCube collection. It never came out in... It never came out in the Western world, but
damn.
If you want to check out a game that feels very much like Katamari Damacy and Dig Dug, it's kind of like the in-between of both of those things. Funnily enough, all of those games
so
are published
the GameCube
by Namco.
GameCube version is out now.
Yeah, so it's like a port of the GameCube stuff with some extra stuff
on Switch.
To it. On Switch, yeah. Yeah, wow. It's really, really good. I think it's like around $30.
Type.
And I would definitely recommend it as like a, just like a really, really fun collection of Japanese arcade buffoonery, Angus.
I guess that's what we've been reduced to, isn't it?
I'm like, yeah, I'm reviewing it like a Hamilton character.
Yeah, no, you're not rapping and you're not...
calling it
you,
sir.
If you were originally a black podcast host, then, you know, the race reversals and... so there's nothing like Hamilton.
Mr. Driller doesn't own any slaves at any point in Mr. Driller.
Can we say that though? Is it just a reimagining of Mr. Driller's life?
That's true. Maybe this year, maybe that was there with the changes that they made it to the Switch port.
Yeah.
why does Mr. Driller own slaves?
They got rid of that. It's not cool.
Yeah. So that was my like antidote to Last of Us 2. A game I loved, but as I said last week, I just wanted to play something completely different.
I guess it speaks volumes about us because I'm playing it again.
Also, this game, Mr. Driller Drill Land, was made by the same producer as one of my favorite weird WiiWare games called March.
Which one was that?
Did you ever play that? So it was a game where you held the Wiimote and you had to run. And like you are at the end
looking at Mr. Drill. I want to see what he looks like.
Then you should definitely look up Muscle March.
I will.
Everyone Google Mr. Muscle Driller. March. I'll put all this shit in the HeyFam Discord.
Yeah, that's
too,
pretty so as no, hell.
Muscle March was this game where, like, yeah, you were like one of like six shirtless muscle men running through a chaotic city.
I know this one. Yeah,
and you
had to
run, and then the guy in the front would smash through a wall, and you would have to copy his pose to fit through the same hole that he broke in the wall.
That was like a brilliant game.
I finished it. It was absolutely crazy, and the same aesthetic is in Mr. Driller Drill Land.
Truly wild.
Yeah. I just love bonkers Japanese games. I mean, we all know that I missed the first 15 minutes of Mission Impossible Fallout because I was buying a WarioWare game. This is the same energy.
That's still the most insane story.
So good. I still have no idea what happened in the first 15 minutes.
I know, because you haven't seen it.
It was 5 minutes. I don't know. I missed a bit of it.
It's a really good intro.
Yeah, good movie though.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie. It'll be remembered more than like the Wario.
I reckon they're going to re-release it with Wario in it, and like Ethan Hunt saves the world by completing a series of 300 mini games.
That'd be real good. It's still the lamest.
He has to pinch nose hairs out of Wario's
nose. It's still like a king move, but it's like just the worst game. That I love the game, but it's like the opposite of the king move game. It's like, if you were picking up a Halo 2 helmet with the game inside it, king move. But the fact it's like a remastered version of a game you've already played on 3DS.
On a console that I don't really play
anymore. On a console that they haven't
made
of a game for 2 years on. You're like, I need to get this.
I had to. What if it sells out?
Wasn't the shop open after the movie?
Yeah, I just, what if it sold out, man?
No one is doing that.
Are you going to pay? That's what the Fallout they're talking about is.
The Fallout, yeah. Man, it's insane. It's so insane that he did that. It's not even a cool like thing. It's like a game that was on the shelf.
Yeah.
And you've played it all of them. All the games.
Yeah, I know. I love those games. They're great.
I know, it was funny that like the urgency wasn't because you needed to play these new games.
Hey, I didn't miss the first 5 minutes of WarioWare Gold to go buy Mission Impossible Fallout on Blu-ray.
I know, and that's the real tragedy, I think.
That's something I should do soon. Watch all the Mission Impossibles.
It makes sense after you Fast and Furious. They're very similar too, in the sense of like different directors. Then they sometimes get directors that stick around. And like combos, it's like, you know, Ethan and like an array of people.
Mission Impossible though, like, starts stupid. The first, like, well, not so much the first, but certainly number two is as dumb as the franchise
stupid.
Gets.
Yeah, no, the first one's like a Brian De Palma, like, spy thriller.
But then it gets, like, it becomes, like, oh, it knows it's genuinely, like, the best action franchise.
Yeah, now. Then two's just stupid. Then J.J. Abrams 3, Brad Bird 4, like, it just gets, like, brilliant.
Mm.
They're all good, too. Like, even two is good, but it's, like, a bad good.
Yeah, it's got Limp Bizkit on the soundtrack.
It has Limp Bizkit, has Anthony Hopkins, who's in none of the other ones.
I mean, listening nonstop because I did a Neptunes mix for my
La Perouse is in it
the other day. It was in Sydney, wasn't
it? Yeah, the last fight's in La Perouse.
The Holden Commodore in it.
The
right?
whole movie set in Sydney. It's insane.
Is it a Ford Falcon or a Holden Commodore that Ethan Hunt plows into?
One of the two.
Yeah, one iconic.
He has mad hair in it. He wears leather. He's got long hair.
And they just constantly keep pulling their faces off in that movie.
Yeah, to the point where you go like, I think I've watched a third of this movie, Ethan Hunt isn't even Ethan Hunt. It's like the villain. It has like the worst villain in the series. It's,
yep.
There's a lot of stinkers. But it's cool to see Sydney through the eyes of John Woo. You know, he makes Sydney lots more birds and stuff.
Now I know you want to hate me.
Yeah, because you're the reason why. I saw them at Big Day Out where the girl died and they played that song.
You saw Limp Bizkit live.
Well, it was at Big Day Out.
That's like their most... like
insane, really big.
Infamous show.
They headlined a festival and the girl died.
There was another show they played where people died, right?
No.
No, right.
There was that one.
Just that one. There's a great podcast that Double J put out last year.
Oh, yeah, the Big Day Out one.
About the history of
Big Day
Out.
There's an amazing episode about Jessica, the girl that died.
And they interview her parents and her friend. And it's like actually like the sweetest.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was sad.
Yeah.
Fred Durst notably absent on that episode.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be great if he's like, I want to do it, but I got to do some ADR with John Travolta for the Fanatic today.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's the only excuse we'd accept. Go ahead, yeah. Fred.
What if they were like, if he was like, I'll be interviewed for your podcast about The Big Day Out, but only if John Travolta comes with me.
And he's there the whole time.
As his character in The Fanatic.
The wickedly delightful Fred Durst.
The wickedly talented.
He'll just get the...
Freddie D!
Yeah, I didn't even like Limp Bizkit. It was funny seeing them. Even then, I remember just being like, these guys are really funny. Like, I found it like WWE wrestlers.
I have been listening to the Neptunes remix of Nookie like every day for the last 2 weeks.
You heard that before? Yeah, it came on the CD. Good. It was on the CD, I think. Anyway,
it's like one of, as a Neptunes fan, it's like one of their best remixes, I think. And like has like amazing.
They have some fucked
like
ones
Pharrell
too.
Sings like, I only did it for Nookie.
I read, so I you know, listened to your Neptunes mixes and then I was looking at like other remixes and do you know Passion of, Passion of the Weiss, that blog, the music blog.
Yeah, yeah.
They did like the 20 worst Neptunes remixes. Yeah, and I meant to send it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was real. They had like the Kid Rock stuff.
Yeah, I was freaking. I thought they were going to put the Neptune.
See that list as well?
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were going to put Limp Bizkit like as like their worst. And I'm like, oh, thank God, these guys have taste.
Don't worry, Kid Rock still exists.
It is such a genuinely good remix that it makes.
It's not on that list, is it?
No, they also did a remix of the song with Method Man. Shut the fuck up. But it's not as good.
Yeah.
Who could be the boss?
No,
the Method Man. It's a good song.
I don't know that.
That film clip rules.
I know the video. Was the video for the remix though? Or?
No.
But remember I think we spoke about this, but the Limp Bizkit cinematic universe where Ben Stiller was in a bunch of their videos.
Yes.
Playing like
Ben Stiller, he was in the film clip for Bad Boys for Life.
And he was in the video, the Jack Johnson. You know what it was? Sorry, I take that back. It was the Ben Stiller CU. And he was in the Jack Johnson video for Taylor or something.
Yeah.
He was like, fresh off Zoolander and Meet the Parents.
And he's the Ben Stiller show.
Ben Stiller show. And Zoolander is famously the
Bob
first
Odenkirk's
comedy movie.
First,
I do know that.
Sketch show.
Yeah.
And was it Sarah Silverman as well? And it's crazy cast.
And it just got axed, right?
After one season.
Yeah. Like no one fucked with it.
Well, no one really liked
it. But it was pre Mr. Show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pre Mr. Show.
Yeah. Pre Mr. Show. Sorry, you said that. Yeah. But why do you think Ben Stiller was in all those things? Was it because Zoolander was famously the first comedy movie released after 9/11?
He was kind of like Mr. Hollywood and like very approachable and like was just like, everyone liked his shtick.
Yeah, because he wasn't like, he was obviously...
That was pre-Zoolander, all those appearances.
I don't know if all of them are, because Zoolander was 2001.
Yeah, Bad Boys for Life is 90s.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
We ain't going nowhere. Travis Barker's in that video too.
Yes.
Actually, does Ben Stiller play the stuffy white neighbor who tells him to keep it
down?
Yeah, and he goes,
hey, he calls P. Diddy for something pretty
funny.
Yeah,
hey, Puffy Daddy Diddy or something like that. Yeah, it's funny.
It's such a good song.
When is Bad Boys for Life? I thought Travis only joined Blink in like 99. And I think he was in Bad Boys for Life like 2001.
Fuck, it's 2001.
Dog, I'm telling you.
So around the same time as Zoolander, I guess.
Yeah. That was when he was viable as hell. It was all based on Zoolander. They're not getting him for a cancelled sketch show.
And then, yeah, Ben Stiller's career is wild because he made, Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah, and then like then The Life of Walter Mitty. Just like the most insane. And then he directed Reality Bites in like 92 or 93.
He's in Anchorman. He plays one of the other news reporters.
Yeah, he's in a scene.
Yeah, in the big fight scene.
Yeah.
The iconic fight scene.
But he directed Cable Guy, Reality Bites, Life of Walter Mitty, I'm pretty sure he directed. He's directed some like very strange
Greenberg
films.
Greenberg,
yeah. Oh, that's right. He was in a lot of
Bombach.
Yeah. And was he in anything else besides Tenenbaums? I don't know if he was.
Yeah, that's his only
strange
Wes Anderson.
Wonder what happened.
Yeah. I think I like Ben Stiller. I'm gonna go out, have put it on record.
I like Ben Stiller.
I think I like Ben Stiller.
I think he's good. He's always
still like Stiller.
He's good at. I'll have the still water tonight, please. The sparkling is a little too loud. He's always like the non-funny guy and stuff. Like he plays the annoyed straight guy well.
Or he's Zoolander.
But yeah. That's it.
Who was his? Was it Starsky and Hutch? Him and Will Ferrell? Or was it him and Owen Wilson?
It's him and Owen Wilson and Huggy Bear is Snoop Dogg.
That's right. What a weird movie. I'm pretty sure that movie is just like okay.
It's definitely like below okay. You mean Dupree?
Oh yeah.
Along Came Polly.
Oh, and fucking Something About Mary.
Something About Mary. Yeah. He was like leading romantic comedy, but the straight guy in those things.
He comes
like
on
he
his
wasn't
ear.
Like Jim. Yeah, but that everyone comes. It's
not on their ear.
No,
he was the
very
first
funny.
To do that. It was very groundbreaking. Acting.
Something About Mary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
He's calm, actually.
What else is another calm movie? Something about Mary Ran, so...
Happiness?
Happiness could not. I think Happiness even came out before, actually.
Yeah.
What's like a funny cum movie?
Happiness is hilarious, bro.
Yeah, it's about pedophilia, rape.
Fuck that movie.
Yeah, I never watched it. I just knew all that stuff about it.
I think I've seen all of Todd Solondz's movies, like, pre-2010.
It's very edgy, like, teen youth move.
I wanted to walk out of
Surely there's cum in, like, a Jane Silent Bob movie.
No, in Van Wilder, a dog comes into a cake.
That's
and then they eat the guy eats the cake and he's got cum all over his face. I think that's what
just
happens.
Imagine writing that going like, yeah, dogs fuck cakes, right? We'll get a vet to check that one out later.
No, like, they get this horny dog who's always fucking things to cum in the cake.
And then that man went on to dog wrangler
Deadpool
went on
himself.
To be Deadpool.
Is it cumming in Deadpool?
I mean, it's kind of in every scene. It's like New York and Sex and the City. It's the fifth girl. You know?
It's a beautiful analogy, man.
Yeah, I have a feeling I actually already made it this week on another podcast, which is terrible.
Which podcast?
Total Reboot.
I was on Thumb Cramps this week talking about Last of Us 2 again.
Oh, wow. So you've spoken about it officially.
Constantly.
Oh, no. Now we're probably tired.
Yeah, it was probably about the same. But it was me, Joel Dusha from Thumb Cramps, and Alexi Toliopoulos.
Oh, wow. So now Alexi... Oh, no, we've all kind of... No, Alexi's maybe spoken about the most.
Whoa.
Because he was on both apps.
He wasn't on last week, though, with us.
You're right. We're all pretty even.
Yep.
What was that? Was that fun? Was that via Zoom, I guess?
Yeah, it's via Zoom. Our thoughts with everyone in Melbourne and the rest of the world, I guess.
Yeah, everyone's fucked.
Everyone's fucked. You reckon we're going to have a second wave in Sydney?
I know. There's people just got off the plane from Melbourne today unchecked, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. Everyone's like moronic thinking like life is back
to
normal.
It's fucking insane. Like Disneyland and Disney World have reopened this week. Like,
yeah, that's... It's scary.
And like Trump's new like campaign is just like, let's just ignore COVID.
Well, we won't do tests.
Yeah,
leaks came out where they're like, the less we talk about it, the less people will care about it.
Lin-Manuel Miranda should write a musical about COVID.
He'll write a Trump musical.
Yeah, well, it'll be Donald Trump,
Hump,
Junior.
Lump, Thrump. Like a lot of words rhyme with Trump.
Do you ever have a moment where you're like, I wonder how many versions of parody songs of Lump by presidents of the United States of America there are where they say Trump instead of Lump? There's 50.
Really? Gump is still the best parody of that song.
By Wilder Yankovic, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about the presidents, not the American ones, but the band the other day.
They're from Canada, right?
I don't think so. They were like real...
Because the lead singer now makes kids music.
He's a straight... Yeah. I remember they got so big, especially when they're in like the Wedding Singer and covered
Video Killed the Radio Star. They're a pretty good cover too.
It's great. You know what?
They're from Seattle.
They're from Seattle.
They're in Last of Us too.
Joel plays Lump.
Lump. I will survive.
No, she picks up a guitar and she's like, "Fuck you, kitty. Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches." That album was sick though. Oh, when you're like nine and that's like an album you buy, not like.
And then it had "Fuck You Kitty" on it as well.
Yeah, I mean, "Fuck You Kitty."
My parents didn't let me get it because they
had it, and I had a poster of them up in my room. What was the?
And then I want
was Kitty the opening track. Fuck, let's look. You know what? Classic album time. We're jumping in and looking at that track list because so many songs on that album. A next level. Here we go. President's United States. It is Kitty's the opening track.
And so yeah, they were like, "Oh, let's listen."
Oh man, they had a 10th Kitty, feather plucking, Lump, Stranger, Boll Weevil. Peaches, Dune Buggy, We're Not Gonna Make It, Kick Out the Jam. All right, so like 10 of the songs are good. Oh, this is a long... Christ, no, this is a 20th anniversary edition.
Who wants a deluxe version of that album?
Not even anyone in the band.
If anything, they should release it with less songs on it.
It would be the perfect EP, I always said. I remember my review in 1995.
And then their second album had Volcano, Mac 5.
Yeah, maybe Video Killed the Radio... No, it didn't have that. Two, here we go. Volcano, Mac 5.
Yeah,
that's it. And then they realized they weren't good.
I know. I think like they just kind of crushed under the pressure of being like,
you know, what's good when their third album is their
live album.
No, the B-sides and rarities.
Pure Frosting. And that's that being advertised.
Video. That's what Video Killed the Radio Star was on. Yeah, that was. I think that was all they made, wasn't it?
At the end of that cover, they go, "Video killed that radio star.
Yes, he did. It's very funny. Oh no, they did another album in 2004.
Just sequels to all their first songs.
They did a bunch of albums. These are good times, people. They have. Maybe we should explore that for a future episode.
Do a president's back United catalog States. Watch.
Yeah, and we'll compare them to the presidents mentioned in Hamilton. Which Hamilton Perfect. Character
yep.
would listen to which president's United States album?
Are we gonna do it now? Should we get our Hamilton on?
Yeah, man. They kept releasing albums. They've got like nine out. Not that many.
What we should do is add up the running time of every President's meow, United States of America meow, album meow, 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 and meow, see meow. If it's longer than Hamilton. Because I bet you it probably isn't.
Every Hamilton is longer than all of the President's albums.
Oh, no, that deluxe edition might throw us
But their songs went for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kitty is a sick song, though. And that was funny because they had like two strings on a guitar.
That's right.
They were like Primus that sounded pleasant to the ears.
Primus.
Just like things that like real night, like Primus couldn't exist now.
I think Primus, the guy from Primus started a band with Mike Patton.
Yes.
Who is like the lead singer of Faith No More
and like Mr. Bungle and Phantom Mass.
Like people, he has like one of the craziest fan bases.
Yeah, he's in like nine bands and they were all prolific at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And then like, yeah, I feel like Primus and him getting together were like so many people fucking nutted.
And then the world just folded. Yeah.
That's their Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, it was like math rock bass lines, right? No, what
Primus? But and all their songs are fucking weird.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah. We're known as Big Brown Beaver.
I might listen to that. I bet you I like it.
The Brown album.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of their albums. We've all got a Big Brown before. It
was like Honky Tonk.
They did the South Park theme.
Hey, they still do.
Yeah.
that has changed.
Do they get paid every time?
Of course they do. They do the Primus, like, that just couldn't exist now.
Do you know Ween was supposed to do the original theme song for SpongeBob SquarePants?
I have no idea. It makes a lot of sense.
The end credits one. Yeah, anyway.
They put out albums still, Primus.
Are we doing that thing where we delay talking about the thing we were going to talk about?
No, we're just doing the podcast.
You're right. It is definitely just hate. No
one is asking us to do any of this stuff. We're not asked. No streaming service.
No, I got a lot of letters from
our listeners. We're not paid to do this.
Dear Angus,
no one has ever asked us, you need to talk about this.
I wrote a rap asking you to review Hamilton.
Brown album.
I'm genuinely surprised you watched Hamilton.
I'll watch anything. Like, I'm known to watch anything.
Watch One Piece.
No, I don't watch pirate anime. I don't watch treasure anime. Where, like, the characters have long noses and tits and stuff. No, it's just the 900 episodes. Like, I balk at that.
Watch the movie Stampede.
I probably won't either.
Watch the one directed by the guy who did Summer Wars and Wolf Children.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll do that
Apparently
one
Apparently, that's the best one.
Yeah. I'll only... you know what? Maybe my One Piece relationship will be the non-continuity films. Dude, and I'll take care of that.
Okay.
And you, right. you take care of mainline canon, and I'll do the non-canon stuff.
Fucking good chapter this week, bro. They revealed a new character. It was great.
That's crazy,
now there's 4,000 characters.
Now there's 200 issues now about this guy. That's cool. Do you remember them all, the characters?
If you got...
I don't
know. If you got 2 hours and 40 minutes, I wrote a musical about all of them.
Your son's writing poems. Yeah.
Yeah. I made a bet with our Discord that you would last 6 songs.
No, I watched the whole thing.
You watched the whole thing. That's
I
crazy.
Just paused it intermission.
But they give you a minute intermission.
Yeah, and I paused it to like get some water.
I drank, I think, a half a bottle of whiskey watching Hamilton.
See, I did it stone cold sober.
I have tons of fun getting drunk and watching a musical.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. I can't get drunk and watch stuff that I'm watching for the first time.
I don't care what happens in Hamilton.
Just like in case I like it and then I waste the time that I spent watching it the first time and forgetting about it, rewatching it, and then go, no, I actually didn't like it.
It was really refreshing to watch a movie that I didn't care that much about and just like be in.
Yeah, because you don't really get to do that.
Having a discussion about it as we were watching it.
Yeah, I didn't really discuss it. I was just trying to understand what was going on. I mean, yeah. I'm familiar with some parts of, like, I know about the Civil War and shit, but I don't know much about the American Revolution. Like, I had to study the Civil War in high school, but I only know very vague things. So for me, as someone who's not like an American citizen, I really didn't know a lot of what they were talking about.
Well, I mean, majority of this musical is set before
America becomes America.
And before when it was a Australia British is called Australia.
Yeah.
Because we were founded in 1788.
Hey, stolen land. Exactly. Always was, always will be.
But you know what I mean? Like the
ACAB and all the other ones.
Yeah, that era is just such an insane era where it's like,
yeah.
I'm totally with all the people that are like, you know, why the fuck would you watch a musical about a bunch of guys that own slaves and shit like that?
Totally.
That kind of takes it out of the history. But then it's kind of like, what else do you expect from a musical starring anyone
and also
in
like,
the 1700s?
It is that thing. I mean, you know, it is kind of, and this is,
everyone sucked back then is what I'm trying to say.
Everyone sucks now still, but also like, you can see why the narrative of America is so popular. And now, like, that American dream narrative is crumbling, like, under the weight of itself. But, you know, they were young, they rebelled, they became a superpower. It is, like, a very attractive narrative to buy into, especially when you pick and choose moments like they did with Hamilton.
Yeah, I think, like...
But you know what I mean? Like, you can see why the American dream is, like... It's always been criticized. It's being far more criticized now, the concept. But the idea of turning your back on England, who ran the world... And going, we're young, we're going to run our own country.
And then our constitution.
Yeah.
Which
then
is
like
the biggest cause of every problem in America.
Totally. But then like what I was saying is like surpassing England and being like the world's rulers.
Of course. Yeah.
That is such, and especially when you pick and choose moments and like craft it so it looks cool. You know, like that's kind of that Hamilton kind of was like, you can see why people do, especially Americans. Hey, American listeners, like in the, you know, growing up as kids or like even as 300, 200, whatever years ago, hearing about this, like you can understand why people buy into the American dream.
Because totally.
Your founders are literal, not literal, but they turned their back on the masters and said, we're not doing that. And declared themselves independent.
Dumped a bunch of tea in the water.
Chuck some tea in the water. Big dick moves like that. But and while watching it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember now when I was a teenager and learning about this stuff, like not that stuff, but just like the American history. And you're like, yeah, that is so cool and rock and roll. Like, you can see why James Dean was like such an icon and Elvis, like synonymous kind of with this type of behavior where it's like, you are a rebel. Like, you know what I mean? Like they were kind of like the popular, I think they popularized the notion of like a rebel who becomes the leader, but for white people, like for shitty white culture.
Yeah, like I think the biggest difference between Australians and Americans in regards to British culture is that you will, like if you ask someone in a white person in Australia, like, oh, what's your background? They'll be like, oh, my mum was British and my dad was Scottish or something.
Yeah.
But in America, I feel like they'd just say, oh,
American.
I'm American.
Yeah.
Or American.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know where my family's from. I still don't. I could probably look into it, but also don't care.
Dad's side Irish convicts.
Yeah.
And mum's side British, pretty sure related to John Hunter, who was one of the captains of one of the first fleet ships.
Heavy. So there'll be a musical about him one day.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a thousand things he hasn't done.
I'm more about like where I'm going to be from, if you catch my drift. Like, I'm looking forward.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So someone at work was like, where are you from? And I think I was like, I'm all about like where I'm going to be. And they're like, yeah.
That's what you should be asking
me. Where are you from? And I'm like, seriously, I said, you're asking the wrong question. Where it actually does sound quite a political answer in the end when you're trying to... Basically, I was avoiding that I haven't researched and also I don't care. But I also don't care where my forefathers and mothers came from. Like, it does not make who I am.
No, of course not. I think, yeah. I mean, I think if your family is...
Well, maybe there's a shame and religious. My parents haven't told me for a reason.
I reckon Balinese.
Bali 9 just became Bali 10. That sounds like a bad Drake lyric. Like,
yeah.
Not understanding what it means. He's like, yo, Bali 9 just became Bali 10. And it's like,
damn.
Drake, shh, dude, you can't. They got killed, man. It doesn't work like that.
I think if your family's religious, which mine were, you care yeah. more about the roots of, like, you know, Irish Catholic are very proud of.
Shit, maybe this is more American than I thought. My parents, you know, came here and just we're escaping that.
I mean,
past.
Well, I'm hanging out with your parents next weekend. I'm going to ask
where they're from.
I reckon Truscott sounds like Scottish to me.
From what I've been told, and this completely makes sense. It was Truscott, which is like a common one. You see Truscott around.
Yeah.
My spelling's quite weird. We've heard rumors was to avoid tax. Like at one, like it sounds like when they flash back to The Simpsons and you see like a carbon copy of Homer, who's an ancestor, and they're like, ooh, I'm going to avoid tax by chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just see like me as like in farming clothes 400 years ago or something, changing the spelling and being like, well, no, that's not me, sir. And they're like, very well then, carry on. And it's just like... dodge tax by creating a fake name or like avoided crime. It was basically, I think that what it was like an early instance of a white collar crime.
My wife's family friends, all Lebanese immigrants, and they, a lot of them have the same last name, but they're all spelt completely differently. The last name is Wahabi.
So they could be related.
So it's like, it's either spelt No, they're all related, except when they immigrated here, a dumb Australian immigration officer was like, what's your name? Or, you know, what's your name?
Wahabi.
Wobby. And one of their names, so some of them are written like W-E-H-B-E. But which is how you meant to spell it. But then other people are written W-O-B-B-Y.
Wobby.
Wobby. Wobby.
So what, have the families decided to like pick one and go, we're going to go back to this?
Well, no, because like they've lived with it for their entire life. Like,
wow.
You know, they immigrated, or their parents immigrated 50 to 100 years ago.
Bizarre reminder that someone fucked up their name.
Yeah, I know. And then actually one of our really good friends, Batesy.
Oh, yeah.
His first name is Alice Dare, but it's spelt like the most stupid way you could have
spelled
Alice
Dare. It's like a D-A-I-R.
Because his mum was like, I want to call him Alice Dare. Go down and register the name. And then he just kind of made up how you spell Alice
Dare. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. I love it.
That's a Homer J. Simpson vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's sick.
I love it. And he just roasts his dad about how his name's spelled all the time.
I like that. And also double points for keeping it.
Yeah, sure.
And just being like, yeah, I'm keeping this.
Yeah, like spelling Alice Dare with a D is my favorite.
That's amazing.
So Hamilton, probably the most famous musical of the last decade.
I don't know.
What do you think is going to be more famous than that?
I think Book of Mormon was.
Yeah, that's the decade before, though.
When was that?
I think that's early 2000s.
Right. Let's find out. When did Book of Mormon come out?
I don't know, man.
I'm asking the robot.
Okay, good. You're asking your vacuum cleaner.
Oh, no, that's actually the Book of Mormon. Damn, I forgot it's actually the name of the Bible. Like,
that's right, yeah.
No, I think you're right, though. That came out in, like, Book of Mormon musical. All right, let's check this shit. 2011. So, look, it's only about
okay,
4 years
right.
apart.
Okay, shit, yeah, right.
I think Hamilton is, like, neck to neck with...
Yeah, I mean...
The only reason Book of Mormon was because I know non-musical fans really got into it, and it was a lot of non-musical fans. I
mean, so does Hamilton, though.
But...
I think they both have
Hamilton, I think, has more of a like musical fan in base already. Like, whereas Book of Mormon was more attractive to people who don't go to musicals.
Why? But I think
because like they sing funny things.
But I think like Hamilton casts an entirely new kind of person
totally.
To then attract an entirely new kind of people that would never even imagine going to.
The Venn diagram, there's some crossover. Those people are the same people who would love musicals.
Of course, yeah. But I mean, like, I think Hamilton's embracing of hip-hop, even though it's not really hip hop.
It's like a kids' bops album.
Yeah. Hip-hop. But like, I think that it was definitely like the cool musical. Whereas I think,
which again, I'm going to say this word a lot, paradoxical.
Book of Mormon was the funny musical.
Yeah, but funny because it's Warren stuff.
Was that?
But like, it swore it was.
Yeah, cool. And it was gross out and like, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to see what, how many? What is it? Tonys? What do they win? How many Tonys did Hamilton win? What's okay. The like?
You look up how many Tonys Hamilton won, and I'll look up how many Tonys.
Well, I'm already on the Book of Mormon's page, okay. So maybe okay, you I'll do that one.
How many Tonys?
I don't even know why we're doing this.
Did Hamilton win? This is good. It's for our own thing.
Oh wow, Josh Gad obviously won.
How many Tonys, bro?
Josh Gad didn't win one for them. He lost one.
Damn, bro.
They have. Let's see. How long does a Tony go for? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
11.
Yeah, we're there. Damn, you won.
Hamilton, but actually the winner,
<won? laughs>
the winner is the producers from 2001.
Oh, wow.
That's the record, 12 Tonys.
But you're right. You're probably right. Like Hamilton was more of a cultural. I take that back. Yeah. No, I take back everything you say. I can imagine if you're in America, like you would listen to Hamilton.
Well, I mean, what I like about, you know, completely aside from my thoughts on the 2 hours and 40 minutes I spent watching it, I hope this encourages Disney to buy the rights to more musical recordings, because I think Broadway is one of the least penetrable forms of media.
Yeah, it's classist as hell. And
it's so like expensive. It's so like, you know, even if even while seeing like Book of Mormon at the casino in Sydney,
yeah,
I was like, oh, you know, it's not the original cast. I'm seeing an inferior version.
Yeah,
I don't know how much the budget has been spent on this, but even still, I think tickets were like $120 each.
It was a hard thing to get into. Yeah.
So it is like, yeah, it is. It's not very accessible to a greater public, and this was. I think so. A lot of people's
the execution was great. It was original cast.
Yeah, a lot of people's exposure to musicals though is like the movie version of them, like Into the Woods, yes, or whatever. Chicago. That's like one of the rare good ones.
Chicago.
But whereas the Hamilton, it's just a stage recording.
Yes.
And I think that's sick. I think like more stage recordings of musicals should be
readily available. I mean, also this stage in particular is like a very high budget stage too, so it helps the illusion of you watching.
There were times where, because it's a very dynamic camera, it really gets.
I was wondering, was that from rehearsal or something? Because they'd get like a dude go straight up to the person.
I reckon we were seeing multiple performances. Sure. Especially
drone? Drone Manuel Miranda.
Yeah,
I think
definitely
coming
drone, in. Yeah, Lin Dronewell.
Lin Dronewell.
Mirandrone.
There we go. Lin Manuel Mirandrone.
Was biting his robot lip and filming from all kinds of angles. But no, I think a lot of it was filmed with, like some of it was filmed in front of an audience, but then some of those shots I'm sure were filmed on a night where there wasn't an audience.
Sure.
I don't know, I could be wrong.
We all could be.
So this production that we watched was meant to be released in cinemas.
Next year.
Like late next year.
Yeah.
But Disney, for whatever reason,
COVID gonna COVID,
they were like, fuck it, put it on Disney Plus. I mean, Disney Plus got 75% more downloads,
new subscribers and
new
stuff,
subscribers,
yeah,
this month because of Hamilton this weekend.
I mean, it was a no-brainer move.
Yeah,
also
absolutely.
And this isn't my take, but man, it might have been the Polygon article, I forget. But it is like a very different like when that was written.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was so written for like during the Obama administration, yeah, which like was you know, it was interesting. I remember like Americans being very critical of Obama, but while the rest of like the world who wasn't following day-to-day American politics like looked fondly on the Obama administration because we didn't know about the struggles within America or like even with the Obama administration had with like the House of the Senate and stuff trying to get stuff made, but we just saw it as like a progressive thing.
Yep.
But without even bothering, you know what I mean? Like when I say we, I mean the rest of the world. But it is interesting because it was like, you could kind of tell it like tapped into that type of, we're young again. Like it's you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're forging a new
over,
thing.
Baby. Like,
it
yeah,
really was like a different time. And someone said it was like, and I forget who said it, maybe it was on Twitter or in the same article or just like a critic, but they're like, it's like very, Shakespeare used to write plays for like the king of the time, like the ruler of the time.
Right.
And it's very much a musical written for Obama as the president. Like, we're young, we're all different colors, and you know, we're forging our way, and we're the land of immigrants, and you're a black president, and it's different. And it was very, and everyone was like, this is great, this is so cool. But now when you watch it, with knowing what's come after that timeline, it's like, it does seem like a very different time. And like
yeah.
now to celebrate America, like I could have, you know what? In classic Mista, we're never going to know who wrote this, but they were just like, the person who wrote it saw it twice in theaters then and watched it again now and was just like...
Oh, yeah, I read the piece too. Yeah,
it was great.
It was Polygon.
Maybe it was. Right, and yeah. they were just like, oh, you know, it was so cool back then and it was great. But now, like, you know, knowing what's happening with Black Lives Matter and everything post-Floyd murder and everything, it's like, it's hard to be championing America. And maybe now, like, that story can't exist anymore. And it's like, if anything, this Disney Plus... recording like serves as a very interesting time capsule almost of like 4 or 5 years ago when like it was cool to like an American president if you went from America. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so he was never president, but he is on the $10 bill.
No, but I mean Obama.
Like, oh,
I
meant
like 4 or 5 years ago when it was cool to like, you know, like people in Australia would wear Obama shirts no matter like not being a part of that legal, you know, like when you
But it does seem insane that people are like I think... I enjoyed my time watching this, but, you know, for its 2 hour, its running time is 2 hours, 40 minutes. I reckon I've spent
too long.
Double that length reading criticism of it and trying to like figure out my thoughts on where this belongs in media in 2020.
It's, you know what, like
it is, a bottom line is for me is like, it's crazy that like, this is one of those things that some people can't accept criticism of.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, dude, it's a musical about the guy on the $10 bill.
Who raps. Yeah. Really badly.
Here's my theory is that Lin-Manuel Miranda was in a history class and he made the incredible revelation that Aaron Burr rhymes with Sir.
Yeah.
And I think if Aaron Burr's last name was anything different, this musical wouldn't exist.
If his surname was like Aaron Donkley, he'd be like,
and he's like, oh, he'd be like, and he probably wouldn't. Aaron like Donkley musicals.
Had a donkey. No, it just sounds too similar. Yeah.
But it's like,
he rhymes Burr so often.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Burr.
Does he get cold ever and go Burr? I can't remember.
Gucci Mane.
Yeah. Burr. Gucci Mane reference. Yeah.
But I think there's some amazing performances in this. And so like, Lin-Manuel Miranda as a songwriter, like I already really enjoy the Moana soundtrack. I think there's some great songs in Hamilton, but yeah, he is like by far the weakest performer.
He should not have cast himself in the lead role. I mean, it's insane.
It's really, it's yeah.
Cause he can't keep up with anybody. And, yeah. He's very, like his voice sounds whiny. The guy who plays whiny.
The French guy and Thomas Jefferson is David. Incredible.
Diggins?
David Diggs.
David Diggs.
Daniel Diggins.
Dr. Drills. What was that?
Tip Drillington.
David Drill.
Oh, Mr. Driller Drillland.
Yeah, Mr. David Drillland.
David Diggs.
I don't know, man. I don't.
The guy who plays Aaron Burr is amazing. He has that song that he sings about his son. Which is like one of the highlights of this of the soundtrack.
What's he sing about? Oh, when they're like talking to their children or something.
Yeah. And then there's a great song, the Angelica, who plays like the sister.
They go back in time.
Eliza.
And shit? Yeah, I mean, not go back. They person, like
and then, like she's able to like kind of traverse that like the rapping style, then the sing song kind of musical style. I found it really funny that for this like I definitely enjoyed this as a fan of musicals, I guess, but. As a fan of rap, like I was like on edge,
for
a lot of this, and then
like I noticed there was a song in the second act, and like record scratch started coming. Yeah. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, this is all
well, like, yeah, because it's like a rap battle where the two Jefferson and Hamilton are going head to head,
just like how it happened.
Exactly.
But what was interesting, there was not as much rap as I thought there was, because there was a lot of traditional songs, which
my favorite song, and that's what I found so funny, this musical, which is, you know, so celebrated for its fusion of rap and R&B within the musical style.
Sure.
Is my favorite song by far, my favorite performance by far is by the fucking dude who plays Kristoff in Frozen, the whitest movie ever made. Yeah, he plays King George.
He's also the lead in Mindhunter, which is a banging show.
And he sings songs like, you know, they're like classic Andrew Lloyd Webber-esque villain songs.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's great. So it was good to see his face close up and getting like spit all over the camera and stuff.
Oh man, he straight up dribbles at one point. It's
incredible. Is that on purpose?
Yeah.
It was great.
It rules.
Yeah, he's the best thing. He's only twice, right?
Like
three times?
Three or four times throughout
the best. Yeah. The best.
He, like each performance starts to slowly dance a little bit more.
Yeah. He's like, yes. tells everyone to take their seats.
Because he says it's his show.
Yeah. Like, he's without a doubt.
The star.
Yeah.
Jonathan Groff.
Groff, yeah.
The Groff man.
He rules. I think he started off in Glee or something.
Sure.
I have a feeling.
Makes sense. They made like a rap covers of
they did. Cause, did you watch the special features that came with it?
No.
So the special features.
You got really into it.
Well, I mean, you know, we get paid to do this podcast, so Disney were like, you know, I was like, yeah, well, I wanted to watch it, but they just said how like Busta Rhymes, because you know how he does the cover of
what's My the Shot, big, is it?
Yeah. So he got obsessed and started coming every night. And just like would want to hang out with them after so every good. Show would get like front row. And then he said, sing
paying,
Hamilton.
Paying Lin-Manuel to like $10,000 to give Flipmo a shout out.
They said like one night they were blinded on stage because he loved sitting at the front and like all of his chains were like blinding them. But then like he would come and just sit in the bar just so we could hear it every night, but hang out with friends. Like he got obsessed. And then he said, he went up to him and was like, it inspired him to start rapping again.
Because he had a break, yeah.
Yeah, and then he came back and did...
So that's the reason why he's the best thing about the most recent
Tribe album. Yeah, seriously. It's because he saw Hamilton. No lie. Which is hilarious.
So yeah, it is hilarious hearing him. I forgot that...
Because the credits come on and he does it. Yeah, like, oh.
So they did an entire album of like rap versions.
And some pretty crazy features.
Yeah, but then they got... So for that amazing song, which Jonathan Groff sings... They got Jimmy Fallon... to sing that song.
What? Just get Groff.
I don't know. It's just so weird. And like, he introduces himself. He goes, hey, this is Jimmy Fallon. I'm going to be doing the song. And it's like him with the Roots, but all the Roots, it's just the keyboard is going.
The Roots are on a bunch of the album, aren't they?
Yeah. I think their connection is why we keep getting cursed with Fallon and things like
that. Someone needs to like, in the Roots, go, man, we all spoke about the blackface thing. And like, we're not doing this anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to tell someone what to do, but yeah, that is confusing as fuck.
But I mean, that would be a good scapegoat for them.
I'm not sure it pays them so much money. And they don't have to tour anymore. They get just
But they're stuck in a room with Jimmy Fallon.
Or not now. Jimmy Fallon's family is forced to... Did you read that article?
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon's family, like his wife essentially cameraman. Is the producer like, of his show now.
Who did he have on recently? And I sent it to you and you're like, oh yeah, he made Lin-Manuel Miranda rap about like a Nintendo Switch. He was pointing to things in his house, Jimmy, and Lin-Manuel Miranda was the guest. And he was like, and Jimmy started doing that fake laugh.
Yeah.
When Lin-Manuel started rapping about turnips and Tom Nook. And I was like, I got to stop.
Yeah. So Lin-Manuel Miranda is...
He's just a dork.
Yeah, but...
He's just a nerd.
So he's with these incredible strong voiced performers and he has this like...
Like some of them actual hip hop performers.
Well, he sounds like a Scribble Jam. I don't know. Do you know what Scribble Jam is? It was like this freestyle, essentially a rap battle, which is, I guess, what he's based a lot of the music in Hamilton on. Mm. But it was like very like... I don't know if you ever hear like, you know, people whenever someone's making jokes of like a way too wordy rapper, they describe
lyrical
it as like
miracle.
Lyrical miracle. And that's absolutely the kind of rapper that Lin-Manuel reminds me of. Like this like teenage like
reminds
guy
me of
just
like
trying
Def
to fit
Jam
as many
poetry. Do you remember?
Exactly. It's slam poetry.
It reminds me of that. It reminds me of seeing like old like Kanye videos of him on Def Jam
and
poetry.
And so just like, you know, like the overall vibe of Hamilton makes you feel like it's from a different era. His delivery straight up makes me feel like
1990s.
Music that I used to froth in high school.
It's very that.
Because I was like, oh, that's not like this other rap. Like, you know, this other rap that
this
like,
one has meaning.
It's not like all the bling bling rap, you know
No,
what
this
I mean?
One has meaning. It's talking about like feelings.
And now I'm like, fucking fuck off. Like
there's an old Kanye one where he does like an early version of All Falls Down, but it's like slam poetry on Def Jam poetry.
President Kanye, you mean?
Well, no. we'll be doing a rap musical about that in 200 years.
Yeah. I also love obviously the politics of anyone in this musical and the politics of anyone in this
now.
Era.
Well, now, even.
But I mean, like the politics of anyone in this era are going to be terrible in an era where everything was solved with a duel.
I went in the fattest wiki hole looking at duels afterwards, and I was just like, man, they really do be just, honey, I'm going to probably die tonight. There's a 50% chance.
Yeah, just by like doing anything.
And it was to defend your honor. And then you had a second, and it was insane. And it was like to save face. And but most of the time you would die.
Hamilton's son dies because he shoots, because Hamilton tells him to shoot the air instead of shooting the person.
And he died. The only reason why he's in a duel is because they're making fun of Hamilton for cucking his wife.
Yeah.
What an unlikable guy. I was watching I was like, this guy is such an unlikable... Like, all these major characters... Basically, it's two and a half hours of like major characters telling you he's a bit of a dickhead and rude and not cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, there's a reason why he's always forgotten as a founding father. He's a fucking knob. You know?
But the musical like justifies all of his shitty behavior.
Well, the biggest thing is it's like he made the banks. And you're like... Cool.
And he wrote a bunch of essays.
So he invented like the fucking like loopholes that started the Big Short or whatever.
Well, yeah, he is the founder of the 1%.
Seriously. Yeah. I was just like, this guy isn't good. Like he's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because like George Washington is this like huge, ripped, handsome black man. And he owned people like that. Like that's not what George Washington was like. Like he was.
Is he played by the same guy that's Hercules Mulligan?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
No, he's not. No?
Who's is George Washington in it? Who's George Washington in it?
He's the general.
Oh yeah, he rules.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got an incredible voice as well. He's George Washington. And Hamilton was like his little secretary or something. Remember, he was like writing shit for him always. He's George Washington.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. He looks incredible. He looks like this like Greek. God, when you think of like a Greek statue of a god, he's like this busty, ripped dude, and you're like, no, George Washington wasn't that, and had heaps of slaves.
So yeah, I mean, I might watch part of this, or certainly like I've listened to some of the like Bea loves the soundtrack, so she's put it on a few times since, and we've gotten further than those first 10 songs.
That's crazy because it goes for
so long. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're cooking dinner or whatever, you just keep music on in the background. But yeah, I mean, if they were to remake this, like.
Lin-Manuel's playing himself again.
Yeah, don't.
But you know he is. You know that's part of the
Give
contract.
Yourself a cameo, Lin. Don't, you know. And then also maybe don't make it about Hamilton somehow. Like, why is this?
I mean, it's called Hamilton.
I know, but it's in this incredible musical.
Did you read why he made it? He like read his biography.
Well, the biography, that's like him. A celebrated, yeah. Like
because it was like a guy who did a deep dive on him because no one had ever really done one.
Yeah.
And I think it, not exposed, but it was just like, oh, this guy had like a really important part in America but is kind of forgotten.
But I feel like everyone who had an important part in that era of history is going to be a shithead.
Yeah, but all of them were remembered and like celebrated. Sure. So like Jefferson, Washington, like they were always known, like, you know, the first three or four presidents are all like considered the founding fathers, but Hamilton never was.
Yeah.
So I think it was just kind of like I think it was like a biography like 10 years ago or some shit, and they're like, he was like, man, this is cool, I'm gonna turn this into a rap. Which is like, I guess some people think like that. And that's, it is what it is.
I'm glad you watched it.
I was very curious about it. I was very curious.
Do you have a favorite song?
I mean,
King George joint.
I like that. I kind of liked, I liked when the, like his friends were rapping in the bar without him.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Cause Lin-Manuel wasn't in it. And they were like, it sounded good. They're like beatboxing and stuff. It sounded like legit.
Oh, at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, like right at the beginning. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is good. Like, this sounds cool.
And the French guy comes through.
Yeah, and they were like people who should be rapping. And then he came up and was like whiny and short of breath. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really love the song that Angelica sings after she gives the speech at her sister's wedding and Hamilton's wedding. Wedding to Hamilton.
Ham wedding.
Ham wedding, yeah.
We've got to talk about the microphones on their heads.
Yeah.
How distracting it was.
I mean, that's just how it's done. Where would you rather than hold it? Like,
yeah, like we are. We have to hold it.
Yeah, we don't do
I'd love it if they were doing this stuff. No, so it was funny because all the bald people couldn't do it because it looked dumb. So a lot of people who were bald in this, like shaved heads.
Yeah.
So it's people with long hair had to have it. And then people with short hair, the traditional ear one.
Where was the ones on?
Just on the side, like you couldn't see it. That's what I meant.
Where were the other ones? So what are you
on top
about?
Of their head? Didn't
oh,
you
I
see
missed
it?
That. No, I missed that.
Oh, because
I drank half a bottle of whiskey. So.
Yeah, it looked like a stray hair, but they literally would wear it at the back of their head like this, and have it down like this.
Whoa!
And you could see like the women who had like long hair, and like Hamilton and shit with, and like Jefferson who had like long hair. They would have these little lumps there, and it was the mic hanging over. Very distracting for me, and that's something in the audience you wouldn't be distracted by.
Or in the official movie remake.
Or if you're back there. I'd love to think it was like scene for scene. That's what actually happened. They rapped and stuff. like the founding
back in
father.
The, back in the 1700s. Absolutely, that's when rap was invented.
But he's like a shit character. He just like banged a woman and then got. He cucked a guy and had to pay the dude for simping his wife. It was basically OnlyFans, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He invented the bank system so he could then put that money towards simping a woman. That's literally what it was. He invented OnlyFans.
That's amazing. All right. Well, that is our review of Hamilton. I imagine we're going to do some more musical talk
in PayFam
this week. Only Hams.
Onlyhams.com.
We record two episodes of Hey Fam every week. One of them is in our regular feed, which you just listened to.
Yeah.
But
this one we're paid for, unlike this one.
Guess what? The next one we're doing Pay Fam, and it's going to be another hour-long episode. We're going to talk about
Warrior Wear.
We're going to talk about some more movies. I watched The Farewell and Lupin the Third.
Is that Lupin?
But it's like Lupin.
Lupin the Third, French. Lupe Fiasco, Lupin the Third. Yeah, that's what I always think of. But, and also the character Lupin the Third.
Angus has stumbled upon some amazing...
That's right, and you haven't seen it because you pay for YouTube.
So I pay for YouTube. I got YouTube Red.
Which you got to stop doing.
Because...
Oh, you got kids. It makes...
I watch a lot of YouTube. I like having the music on in the background when I'm on doing other apps and stuff.
But you don't watch it then, you hear it. What do you mean? Do you watch YouTube or you listen to YouTube?
I watch YouTube too, but then the kids watch YouTube a lot. My wife does
YouTube
workouts. I hate those ads, bro.
They go for 5 seconds.
Yeah. But like, say I watch like seven, and then that's 7 5-second ads.
But it's and like the ads $12 in your pocket.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, no,
just
it's,
the
no,
concept
it's 15,
of me.
It's $15.
The concept to me for paying for YouTube, it would be like, if Google introduced, or you have to pay us like $10 a month to use Google.
I'll go without paying for YouTube.
You know, we had it for free for like 10 years.
And if it makes me want to kill myself, then I'll get it back.
I mean, the only thing it does do is not let you on a phone quit it and listen to it.
Well, that's crucial. I like listening to music on my phone, YouTube on my phone.
While you're doing what? Like
when you're reading
about Hamilton and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like listening to Hamilton.
I like listening to Hamilton, but also watching YouTube on the same device.
Yeah, exactly.
And both just a cacophony of sound.
If I didn't pay for YouTube, like I'm sure many of our listeners,
Of them are. This has been a point of contention recently in the
So you're getting these insane advertisements.
You know what? I discovered it after we recorded one night, and the first time I saw it, and it was an ad. So when you open up the YouTube app on your phone, the ads, because it's Google, the ad is the top thing you see at the top of it. Before you even see like trending videos, it's always it's ad space. And it was a picture of Tony Stark as Iron Man. That was Iron Man in GTA 5. We kind of spoke about it last week, sitting in a nightclub, and it was an account called LOL Gaming.
Yeah.
Something. And it's so, like League of Legends.
But now there's been like countless others, and we'll go through
but
them
just
all.
But just was him in a nightclub,
so
and it just said,
he owns nightclub.
Yeah, he owns nightclub. And then it was just like, and it just was kind of like broken English. And I was like, is this like kids' YouTube where there's those formulas making weird videos?
Yep.
But then a lot of other listeners started getting served videos that are generally about a Marvel character in GTA 5. And yeah, it's a bit of a dark slippery slope.
You've gone like deep dive, right? You've watched videos about this person.
Yeah. So yeah, people like, who is this person?
So let's answer this question in PayFam this weekend.
In true LOL gaming style, this.
Yeah.
Because what happens if you click on the videos?
It's all these videos are paywalled, right?
Yeah.
Disgusting. Anyway, patreon.com/HeyFam.
Very funny.
$5 a month gets you a bonus episode every single week.
You love to see it.
Come and join us over there now. Plus, you get to discuss the episode and everything else you could possibly want to discuss in our Discord, which I think is the best online community going right now.
It's the only one I'm paid to be a part of. So, yeah, I like it a lot. Look, I've just opened one up. Look.
There he is. Double trouble for Iron Man.
And what is it? It's Iron Man in a nightclub with what looks like a dead exotic dancer next to him. Now, the YouTube...
No, and then it's a dead person in a suit as well.
And a dead person suit. And the... the video is called Double Trouble for Iron Man, and the account's called LOL Mobile Gaming. So what I'll do, I'll click on that. Actually, I've got a screenshot
first. Save this shit for PayFam.
Click on it, and...
And, wow, find out what happens in PayFam. Patreon.com/HeyFam. We'll see you there. Enjoy your morning.
I can't even like it or unlike it.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.